And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Voices from the Grid. I'm Michael Lindenbaum, and as always, joined by Mr. Ben Taylor.
What up, folks? Pink Ranger here.
Mr. Pink.
That's me.
So
the look on y'all's face when I decided I was going to be the Pink Ranger was quite interesting.
And I was probably the only one to catch on to the Mr. Pink reference for Reservoir Dogs. So, great movie, by the way. I hate to bring it to you, Mr. Pink, but this isn't about the Pink Ranger. We are talking about the Green Ranger, Mr. Tommy Oliver. As we are going over parts one and part two of The Green Candle.
Yeah. We're here re-recording the intro for Green Candles part one and two due to some foibles in things. So if it sounds a little disjointed between the intro and the main and the outro, we apologize. But
changes stuff, had to be made.
Stuff happens.
Yep. Stuff happens. Changes need to be made. And we work accordingly on how we do it.
And the Green Candle is what happens when someone who's a big fan of Tommy Oliver and someone who is not a big fan of Tommy Oliver discussed the exit of Tommy Oliver from Power Rangers for a while.
And so with that, let's hop right on into the episode. Let's talk about some irony here, shall we?
Because
you helped us lead into Green with Evil. Which I covered all five of those.
I did Switching Places and the other one where science doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, but the greatest thing about it is that since then you have not done any Green Ranger episodes.
I'm fairly sure that you were trying to avoid putting me on Green Ranger episodes, and I was like, hey man.
It's because I always had it planned when we started doing the new format. What's the best episode to have Ben do?
Yeah.
Than the one that gets rid of the Green Ranger.
Yeah. So, spoiler alert. I'm not the biggest fan of Tommy Oliver. As a character, as a concept, as any of it. It leaves some rather large... I've just got some issues. Like, he actively detracts from Dino Thunder when he's in it. 25 years later, a single episode of Legendary Battle, all of the marketing was about him and not about the actual current Rangers. And as we know, team-ups need to make the current Rangers look just as good as the old Rangers for them to work properly. But let's talk Tommy Oliver. Let's talk Green Ranger, because I've not had a chance to do that yet.
Yep.
And quite frankly, we're pre-recording a whole lot of episodes, so I don't know what the others have said. I have thoughts, and this is something that's bugged me for a while. How did Rita get the green power coin? Do we know?
So now, according to I want to
put a caveat on this. Don't include comics, don't include books, don't include movies. Just the TV show.
According to TV lore, she's always had the coin.
Right. How?
That's never explained.
Because we find out later on that Zordon found the coins and all six coins were made by Ninjor. So how did Rita get the green coin?
Yeah, and that's where I know you say no book or comic book or movie lore, but then that's where the lines get blurred, because obviously you want to throw out the movie from 2017 because that was a whole reboot of Mighty Morphin, and that had Rita as the sixth Green Ranger.
Yeah,
and that's why she had the coin. But then you go into comics, and that's where you find out that that sixth coin was actually put away behind a cave behind this tribe that was protecting it. and she actually had to go in and retrieve
the right point.
But when
did that comic come out?
That came out in the last couple of years.
Yeah, so I shouldn't have had to wait 30 plus years to find out how Rita got the green coin.
But like, but TV lore, it's never really explained. It's just Zordon goes, oh, well, she resurrected the powers of the coin through those spells. Because keep in mind, and it's something that was talked a lot about, she had to do spell after spell after spell after spell.
Yeah.
Just to A, put Tommy under her power, under her spell, B, give her the ability to give her or give him the coin, give her the power to give him the sword of darkness to keep this. So like, there was spell upon spell upon spell that was, and that I think when you kind of look at it from that, even though it's not probably properly explained, that's probably the real reason of how it was. She always had the coin, but she needed to use magic.
She had to like wake it up.
To wake, wake it up.
The other, and that will get onto something that I talk about a little bit later when we get to the actual episode, because we've not started the episode yet. We're just talking about my general thoughts on the Green Ranger in general.
Yeah.
One thing I do want to say, and you'll have seen this if you read my articles that I'm writing on the website. Long story short, I started my journey through Power Rangers about this time last year, and I've started chronicling my thoughts on each season. And one of the things I mentioned when I talk about the Green Ranger is some of the things they did right with the Green Ranger, right? Specifically, when he turned from evil to good, his power set didn't really change, right? You'll see this a lot with Sixth Rangers, that when they're evil, they can do so many more things than when they're good, right? The perfect example of this is Trent in Dino Thunder. When he's the White Ranger that's evil, he can like trap Zords in bubbles and encase them in barrels and do all kinds of flash super speed stuff. And he turns good and he can't do any of it. Right?
Yeah.
And then the other thing that he did, they did really well with him as a Sixth Ranger, is he was actually involved. Because again, you see it a lot in Sixth Rangers where they just disappear for large periods of time. Right? Again, Trent just disappears for half the season. The Platinum Ranger in Lightspeed Rescue.
Shane.
Shane's Red Ninja Storm Ranger.
No, there is another Shane, the one in space, the Silver Ranger. The Platinum Ranger, forgetting his name.
Shane wasn't in space. It was a spacey name. Oh. Come on, brain. I know it's early in the morning, but come on. You are better than this. The Sixth Ranger was Zane.
Zane.
S-H-A-N-E in space. And yes, he disappeared as well.
Yeah.
Let me look up the Lightspeed Rescue one while you're talking.
Yeah, so...
Ryan,
okay, yeah.
And those are the ones that spring immediately, Mike, because I was just rewatching Lightspeed yesterday.
Yeah, but, and actually, speaking about Six Rangers, Eric in Time Force, he's actually around.
Yep.
So he's like one of the few exceptions to that.
Yep. But yeah, the Blue Centurion disappears, like... The Magna Raider isn't there for half the season. Anyway. And the other thing they did, like I said, those are two things they did really well with Tommy. as a sixth ranger. Also, he had a really badass Zord.
Dragon Zord's pretty badass.
Also, shares initials with Dolph Ziggler. Just need to see the Dragon Zord do a super kick.
I think there's a way. If it cops up on its tail, I think it could do an effective super kick.
How and right. So this is the bit that oh god. I'm about to smack talk Tommy Oliver on a Power Rangers podcast.
Bring on the hate, people.
My issue with Tommy is he doesn't evolve in any way, shape, or form. Right? He's the exact same person when we meet him at the beginning of Green with Evil, before he gets turned evil, to when he turns good, to when he loses his powers, to when he becomes the White Ranger, to when he starts leading Zeo, to when he comes back in Dino Thunder having become a teacher. His personality doesn't change. He never evolves. The closest he gets to any form of character thing is when he gets dumped by mail during Zeo and he's sad for 3 episodes and gets hit on by a 45-year-old woman when he's supposed to be a teenager but looks older than the woman hitting on him. And that lasts for all of 3 episodes. And then he's just back to being Tommy again. There's also the weird cat thing where I'm not sure if the canon thing is that he and Kat ended up together or not, or maybe it was. But then he's got the thing. Anyway. Yeah, it didn't. I don't know. Even in Legendary Battle, he's the same character. And I think that's something you'll see me talk a lot about in the early seasons of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. And Zeo and
Turbo.
The characters don't evolve, right? They're the same episode one to the end of the season. That gets way better from like In Space onwards. Especially once you get into the post Zordon era, it gets even better because they've got seasonal arcs. Characters evolve and things like that, and it's much better that way, if you ask me. But yeah, let's move on. Let's actually get onto the episode.
Yes. We'll
be here forever otherwise.
All right, so ladies and gentlemen, we're doing Green Candles Part 1 and Part 2,
yep.
And we start off with everyone's favorite segment, In My Mind, the quick run through of Green Candle Part 1. And we start off at the juice bar with Tommy and Zach sparring. They talk about Tommy asking Kim to the dance, which is the most overplayed thing that they have throughout the entire time Tommy and Kim are there. Reed plans to use the green candle to drain the Green Ranger of his powers, which then later back at the juice bar, we see more sparring between Zach and Tommy. Zach tries to woe Angela, and she's not impressed. And then Bulk and Skull show up and then interject themselves in the conversation, which, who asked you? Go away. Back at the palace, Rita is casting a spell. Goldar with the mission to capture Tommy, and right when Tommy was going to ask Kim too. Kim loses her morpher, is now chasing for it. Both of them are restrained, but the putties and Goldar only leave with Tommy. At the palace, Goldar unveils the green candle to Tommy and gives him the ultimatum. Fight for Empress Rita or die. Tommy tries to fight Goldar, but then back at the command center, the Rangers are worried about Tommy, and they see Rita has control of the Dragon Zord now, but it's an imposter. The Rangers morph in the battle to take on Goldar. They call their swords to take on the imposter Dragon Zord. They form up the Megazord, and the battle begins, but back at the palace, Goldar returns, but Tommy gets his sword and forces them to return to Earth. Tommy Morrison to action and summons the real Dragon Zord, and they chase off the monster. But back at the command center, Tommy tells Zordon about the green candle. Zordon explains the candle, which how would you have known that? And reality comes to Tommy. To be continued, but first notes from Mr. Ben.
Okay, so Green Candle Part 1, a.k.a. Rita's team tries real hard to lose. So Zach and Tommy are sparring, and the implication is they've been sparring for a while, right? Because they're mid-conversation, they're mid-fight, they do the move, it ends, they start talking, and neither of them is sweating, and it's kind of weird. Yeah. Kind of weird. So they have this conversation about how Tommy should just get over it and ask him to the dance, right? And it's basically Zach being like, just do it, dude. Get over yourself and ask her. Like, you're really good at everything else. Just do it, right?
Yep.
And at that point, even though Zach is the person in this conversation that is right, Zach is the person who should be like, look, listen to this person. They go into a slow motion segment of Tommy breaking a board. And it's like, why does Tommy get the slow mo motion? Zach should be getting that exclamation point, right? Because he's right.
He's the teacher.
Yeah. So we cut to the moon. I'm not sure why I said it like that. And Rita reveals her plan and says, it's sinister and dark even for me. Bloody candle. And then just out of nowhere, there's this magic green candle, right? And this is what I was referring to earlier with the power coin, right? It would have been so much more interesting if we'd seen what Rita had to go through to get the power coin. Again, yes, I know we're limited by Sentai footage. But it would have been really interesting to see in the like couple of episodes leading up to this, like a side quest with Goldar not being around because he's off getting the wax, right?
Yep.
Or something like that. Just some indication that something was up.
Well, they kind of explain with the wax for the candle that when Tommy was under Rita's
spell. But we'll get
spell,
to that. You know, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
If we'd seen the creation of the candle, it would have been a much more foreboding thing. It's something they do much better in Ranger Season 3 with the Zeo Crystal and all of that. So then she has to locate Tommy, right? So she sits down and she casts this spell over a map. And I'm like, why? Every other time you want to know where the Power Rangers were, you just look through your telescope. And there they were. Or it's Tommy. His life takes him one of three, maybe four places. The juice bar, the command center, school. Maybe his house to sleep.
Wait, maybe. Does he sleep?
But we've covered my thoughts on this previously, where these teens seem to do everything. Just everything. Dirt bike racing, leading charity, teaching classes, learning at school, getting the homework done, passing exams. What? Anyway, hence, maybe sleep. So then we are back to our non-sweating sparring partners. And Zach tries, as you said, to woo Angela. Does Zach genuinely think that's how you get a date?
Yes, because
Zach's an idiot.
That I will give credit to this. that is one consistent thing that they've done with Zach, is Zach chasing Angela.
Yeah. They did do that very well.
Yeah. So that, and it's just a continuation of his consistent chase of Angela there.
Yep. Bulk and Skull show up. And they, it's just an excuse for a pratfall. And then Tommy and Zach call the ladies over to laugh at Bulk and Skull.
Like I said,
who are the bullies?
The Power Rangers are the real bullies, man.
Who are the bullies?
Actually, I've been saying that since episode one.
Yeah.
That the Power Rangers are the real bullies.
Me too.
Okay.
So they have this candle, right? But then they exposit that they need his power coin. Right? But you have, if you have the coin, just dust the coin like you do in season three. The powers go away. In season three, when they're getting ready to use that stupid pull-arm robot thing to bring all the Power Rangers back to being regular people, Zed and Rita just dust the coins. And the powers are gone. Why not do that with this? Why not just dust his morpher?
Because she wants the coin, because that gives her the power.
And then you get later in the fight with the putties, they get Kim's morpher too. But they don't dust that either. Just dust the morphers. They have Kim and they have Tommy, but they only take Tommy. Right. So this is where Rita's team trying real hard to lose starts. This is a plan that requires time for the candle to burn out, right?
Yep.
So why leave a witness?
Because they're not very smart.
Either wait a little while and attack Tommy when he's alone, right? That way, no one's gonna know that the candle is burning, so they won't come to save him. Or just take the witness, especially when you have her morpher. What the hell, Goldar? Do better.
On your report card for this mission, you get an F.
F plus! It would have been an F minus, but you did actually capture Tommy. But yeah, just if you think about it, if they had not attacked when another Ranger was around, the plan would have gone unopposed.
I mean, it would have had some opposition to it because just how good of a fighter Tommy is, but no, you would have gotten overwhelmed.
No, he wouldn't, because if you watch, he's Goldar's no match for him. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Sorry, he's no match for Goldar. We'll get to that, right?
Well, I'm referencing to the putty portion.
No, I'm talking about the plan in general.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in general, assuming that they still capture Tommy and they still get him to the Dark Dimension, if they hadn't attacked when Kim was around and they didn't send the Cyclops monster, they would have won. They'd have got it.
Yep.
Because no one would have known Tommy was missing.
Yeah, but you know what, though? You know who's been able to pull things out of his butt quite too many times?
Zordon.
Yeah. So Zordon would have known, I can't locate Tommy. I must get him. I must tell the others.
At this point, I was like, he is a teenager, Zordon. He's probably just spending some alone time. With magazines. Because they didn't have the internet back then. So Finster cooks up a monster. That's an edit. Finster cooks up a monster that will be able to, quote, change into any shape at will. So it only actually takes three shapes, which is the Dragonzord, the Megazord, and the Dragonzord in fighting mode. So they're in the Dark Dimension. There's Goldar. There's the candle. There's Tommy. Goldar has Tommy's morpher. Right?
Yep.
This has been established because in order to start the candle, they needed his power coin. That was established earlier in the episode. Just leave. Take the morpher and allons-y. Right? Just go. You've shown you can restrain him to the point where he can't do anything while you're gone, because that happens later in the episode. Just do that and leave. Problem solved. It also shows, this section also shows Goldar's a fairly, fairly good fighter. I was going to use another word, but I'm not sure if it's PG-13. He's a pretty BA fighter. Because he takes a spinning back roundhouse kick from Tommy and doesn't even flinch. Right?
He just kind of like dusts it off.
No, he just stands there. He's just like, yeah, whatever, dude. Can I get some donut holes and maybe a coffee? So we're back in the command center, and Kim is tipping off everyone about what's going on with Tommy. And Zordon has no idea.
That's not right. Zordon always knows.
Yeah. Then they see the Dragonzord in the viewing globe. But interesting note, Zordon can't tell it's the Dragonzord at first. But then there's a commercial break, and then he knows it's not the Dragonzord. Dramatic pauses. Goldar leaves the dimension with Tommy's morpher. He still has the morpher at this point. To fight the Rangers. The Rangers get beat up pretty bad while the Dragonzord rampages. Like some of the Zords, and they play the full, unsped up Megazord morph sequence to pad out the episode. I'd like to point out, this still leaves Goldar and a squad of putties rampaging through Angel Grove unattended. The Dragonzord and the Megazord fight like the good old days. Goldar returns and frees Tommy from the magic restraints he put him in. Why? Leave him tied up. You were able to leave, beat up the other Rangers, and come back, and he couldn't even move towards the candle. Just leave him tied up. You're trying to lose here. Then Tommy steals Goldar's sword, teleports away, and morphs?
Yeah, so somehow in that exchange, he got his morpher back. But here's one of the interesting things. Doesn't matter how he got his morpher back. Forget that. He's standing right in front of Goldar as he morphs. So why doesn't Goldar just punch him in the face? You know, be like, no morph for you.
That's a bad Tommy Oliver. Do that outside.
It's like, but seriously, Goldar standing right there. Why didn't Goldar just like, attack Tommy and be like, no, you're not morphing. I'm not going to let you get back into the battle. Like, come on, Grimdar. Right.
So this is, I've wanted to say this for a while now. Tommy arrives to summon the Dragonzord and he plays his dragon flute that sounds like a synthesizer by blowing on it through a solid mask.
Just to give everyone an idea, Ben is just staring off into the distance going, what?
The real Dragonzord shows up and starts laying a whooping on the Cyclops Dragonzord. And it really underlines how powerful the Dragonzord is as a Zord, because the Megazord was laying punches into this thing and it wasn't really flinching. One tail swipe and the thing can't hold its shape, which is really interesting.
Well, I think at this point they've established that the Megazord only has so many limitations.
No, but that's what I'm saying. It's a very interesting way. Like, it's a very cool way to show how much more powerful the Dragonzord is,
yeah,
and why losing it will be bad.
Yeah, and then not only that, but like it helps the team progress a bit, going like, okay, yeah, we can handle it up to this point.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And then there is the typical wrap-up where Trini's are like, she can't take your powers away, and Zordon's like, yeah, she can. Yeah.
Because then it actually all goes back to green with evil.
And then, quote, she has a special wax from the Gamma Tri system. Because once a person touches it, it retains their personal energy. Tommy doesn't remember touching it, but apparently he did while he worked for Rita. So, I have questions. Number one, why is it taking this long for Rita to deploy the candle? Why not do this the moment he turned on you? Follow-up question. If it's the special wax from Gamma Tri system, and a person has to touch it in order to store their personal energy, how does Zed make four more candles later on for the other Power Rangers that haven't touched the wax?
That I would not know. So let's see here. I just want to look at something real quick.
Yeah.
So after Green with Evil Part 5.
Yeah.
Tommy is in... the Green Ranger is utilized in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 episodes leading up to this point.
Yep.
So that's 12 battles that the Green Ranger, technically 11, because there was one battle that he actually was not a part of.
The point being,
yeah,
the moment you lose your biggest weapon, you take it out. Especially, you don't just have this counter set going.
Also, who knows? Maybe they sent Scorpina to go get it. She doesn't get used a lot. Yeah.
It would explain where she went.
Yeah.
Also, and this is a small note, this is my last note for the episode. There's a moment at the end where they're having this conversation, and Tommy says, Rita said something, something, something. He never spoke to Rita. He only ever saw Goldar.
Oops.
Anyway, that's my notes for Green Candle Episode 1.
And Green Candle Part 1 timed in at 19 minutes and 20 seconds.
Yep.
And had an IMDb score of an 8.3 out of 10.
There are a few other, like, more general notes about Green Candle that I think are very interesting. I think it's this episode. I don't think it's the next episode, but I think it's with starting with episode one of this. I think this is the very first time we had the new Zordon voice actor.
Yeah, Bob Meehan. Yeah, it was either that or the episode before.
No, it's this episode.
Yeah,
it's this they episode. Still use David Fielding's face, but this is the first time we have the new Zordon voice actor.
Yeah, and not only that, but also this is also the true beginning, in a way, for the actual voice of Goldar.
Yeah.
Because Goldar's voice, the last several episodes, and we note this a lot in the last several episodes too, Goldar's voice is constantly changing.
Yeah, they hadn't really settled on Goldar's character, had they?
Yeah, and then now we have Kerrigan Mahan's voice doing it, and I think also what it was is that I think because they did the ADR so far in advance, that's why like David Fielding was able to do so many episodes leading up, because he had done so many lines. Kind of the same deal with Goldar, but I guess with scripts changing, they go, oh, well, this line will work better here. And they just probably mashed it up, because you would have times where, like, in an episode, it'd be like, okay, here's Goldar talking, and then, like, the next line that he says, it's, like, a completely different voice.
Yeah. The other thing that is worth mentioning, and I know that this is something Brian talks about a lot, is the Sentai equivalent. Because it's worth noting, in Zooranger, Tommy's equivalent, Bri, actually dies.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with the candle. The candle is in the Sentai, and basically, Bri has this room, and whenever he leaves the room, his life force is ticking down.
Yeah.
And that's constant from the beginning, and the candle is just kind of a representation of that. His life isn't tied to the candle.
And it's also why you wouldn't see Tommy a lot in the battles until the very end, because they were playing off. I mean, I don't want to say they want to play off that premise, but when you have that type of limited Sentai footage of the Greener, you have to find ways to work around it. And that's why they did what they ended up doing.
Yeah. Though I've got to commend the writers for recognizing what a draw Tommy was. Like, as much as I'm not a fan of Tommy, a lot of people, including 50% of the people in this current conversation, are. I would go so far as to say Mike might be a bit of a fanboy for Tommy Oliver. A lot of people were big Tommy Oliver fans, and it was very smart of them to keep him around. I'll say that much.
Yep.
But yeah, that's kind of...
That was part one.
That was part one, yeah.
Now moving on to Green Candle part two, with everyone's favorite segment, In My Mind, the quick run through. We're back at the command center. Zordon tells them that someone needs to go and destroy the candle. Jason volunteers, and despite Tommy's disapproval, gives the okay after some convincing. Billy creates a molecular decoder to send Jason to Rita's palace. At Rita's palace, Goldar details their plan to distract the Rangers, but at the park, the Rangers are working on their own plan. But Bulk and Skull interfere, and Bulk goes rolling down the massive hill. Rita sends the Cyclops, and Tommy morphs into action and calls upon the Dragonzord. Dragonzord is putting up a strong fight, and we finally get to see Tommy in the cockpit of the Dragonzord. This is the first freaking time we've seen this. We've always seen him as an action figure on top of the thing. We actually can see a cockpit for once. The candle is running low. The Rangers get the portal open, and Jason goes to Rita's palace. And then Jason goes one-on-one with Goldar. However, Tommy is in trouble, and Zordon needs them to abort their mission to help him. Zach goes into the dark dimension to retrieve Jason, and Jason is disappointed that he failed, but they morph into action. They all call upon the Ultra Megazord to finish off Cyclops, then go to the command center. At the palace, the green candle is extinguished, and then at the command center, Tommy gives Jason his power coin to prevent Rita from getting the powers. Tommy demorphs for the final time. And then at the park, Kim goes to see Tommy, and Kim misses Tommy, and they kiss, and then Tommy finally asks Kim to the dance, thus ending the episode and the two-parter of Green Candle.
Yeah. Green Candle episode 2, aka Rita wins, question mark, and not the punctuation mark, the words question mark. So someone's got to go the candle. Apparently it can't be Tommy because his presence would accelerate the candle. So it's Jason, because of course it is. Who else are they going to send? Billy? Nah. Trini? But she's a girl. Though they do make a good callback to the fact that Jason has been to that dimension before, right? Which doesn't make any difference because it's one room and Zach just walks out of a portal and there they are.
Well, I think also when you look at it, Jason, yes, he has been to the dark dimension before, but they also did a lot of building up between Jason and Tommy.
But no, it's the fact that Jason, before Tommy came along, Jason was the face of the franchise.
Yeah.
Tommy won't let Jason risk himself, but something, we're a team, something, yada yada. Goldar rewrounds the plot again for the second time in less than 2 minutes. They exposit the plot again. Billy's made a thing, and Kim plays Captain Picard. You look confused.
Make it so.
No. So one of the really, so we'll get into this. You've heard, those of you who know me have probably heard me talk about my disdain for Voyager, Star Trek Voyager. And one of the problems with Star Trek Voyager is that Janeway, as a captain, was a science officer. See, the thing with Picard was a helmsman. So when Data and Geordi would be like, oh, we're going to do a something with the neutron flow and shoot it through the deflector array, and Captain Picard would be like, what? And they would have to explain it in words that he could understand, and therefore the audience could understand. With Janeway being a science officer is that she understood what they said, so they didn't have to break it down for the layman. Here, Kim plays the layman and goes, what's a molecular decoder? And Billy explains the science and techno babble, right?
That makes sense to me now. Thank you for that explanation, Ben.
On the moon, Rita and Co. devise a plan with the Cyclops, which is the exact same plan as last episode. Basically, go become a Zord, let loose the dogs of war, cry havoc, and cause the Rangers to get distracted. The Rangers arrive at the park. Bulk and Skull arrive. Ooh. Bulk and Skull claim that the Goody Geeks are on top of our hill and decide to cause trouble. Please note that when every other shot we've had of where the Power Rangers are setting up the molecular decoders, where Tommy was kidnapped earlier, it's nowhere near a hill. Then we see Bulk and Skull struggle up a hill that doesn't actually exist. and they come up a hill on one side that the Power Rangers walked up earlier that wasn't as steep as the hill that Bulk and Skull walked up. Anyway, it's basically just the excuse for put Bulk in a barrel and rolling down a hill, basically. Yeah.
Because the Rangers are real bullies.
Well, technically, they didn't put him in the barrel.
Yeah.
Tommy is lamenting not being with his friends. But Zordon gives him a pep talk and he says he trusts Jason. When the alarm goes off and Tommy runs off to do a fight, do a bit of a fight. And this, in his last episode as the Green Ranger, is Tommy's Oliver's first ever time saying the words, "It's morphing time." Then we see Cyclops and all my notes have DZ because I got bored of writing Dragonzord. And I just went...
So you're going to start saying Dolph Ziggler every now.
Exactly. I just went, Dragon, for 90% of the fight, Dolph Ziggler beats the Cyclops up? Yeah.
Okay, so anyone who doesn't watch wrestling, Dolph Ziggler is a wrestler in WWE. Yeah. Okay, now we can move on.
Okay. For like 90% of the fight, the Dragonzord is just wrecking the Cyclops, right? The Cyclops is getting in a punch here and there, but the Dragonzord is just wrecking it. We cut back to the teens in the park. Jason's getting ready to go in. And of all five of them stood there, all four of them holding the molecular decoders, only Zach says good luck. There's not even murmurings from the others in the background. It's just like, good luck, dude. Thanks, bro. And he goes in. That's it. It's like, what? He enters. He's confronted by Goldar. There's a bit of a fight. You cut back to the Cyclops and the Dragonzord, and all of a sudden, the Cyclops is monkey stomping the Dragonzord. Right? It's not even close. And not much of the candle is burned down. But I'm guessing they're trying to be like, look, Tommy's losing his powers. So therefore, the Dragonzord's getting weaker, right?
Would make sense.
It does make sense, but it's very sudden, is my point. Zordon has to send the other Rangers to help Tommy. So Zach goes to get Jason. And this is a really interesting point here that deserves some discussion. This is the Rangers and Zordon having to make a choice between Tommy's powers and Tommy's life. Right?
Yep. And it's something that they really harp on over the next few episodes as well.
Yeah.
Which is good storytelling if you
ask. So Jason's like, he could lose his powers, and Zach's like, he could lose his life. Which is a really nice way of summing up the situation. However, it is also somewhat typical Power Rangers double talk for not addressing things like death and injury and blood and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I will merely do as I point out in my articles that point out that even Big Bird on Sesame Street learned what death was. So,
and wasn't that because of the death of one of the
Mr. Hooper?
Yeah.
And it is one of the most amazing episodes of that show. But the adults had to teach Big Bird about death. And I don't think saying die and death and thing like that is really bad. I mean, we've only ever had one ranger killed in the course of duty. and that was Kendricks.
Yeah.
In
Lost Galaxy.
In Lost Galaxy. Still want my money back on the branding for that one. Lost Galaxy doesn't appear until like the 35th out of 38 episodes. anyway. But the point is, it's a very interesting thing that I feel could have had a bit more development. Because even, and I'm not going to go, and we'll come back to it. There's no extended Zord morphing thing this time. In fact, the other Rangers arrive, and within 10 seconds, they're already in the Ultra Zord killing the Cyclops. I'm like, do that the first time. Do that last episode. Problem solved. Candle goes out. Now, we have been led to believe for two whole episodes at this point. In fact, nay, I will go so far as to say, for the entire time we have known about this here candle, we have been led to believe that the moment the candle runs out, Rita gets the powers back. So if the candle runs out, why does Tommy still have time to give Jason the coin?
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe it's because he's under the protection of the command center.
Maybe.
Maybe. That's the only logistical thing I can think of.
It's a very interesting moment at that point. When Tommy hands Jason the dragon coin flares red. Okay. And this has been something that I've wondered about. So when he hands Jason the coin, does Rita still have the green powers?
No.
But no coin to channel it through.
No.
We've shown that. Let me finish. Because we've shown that you need a power coin to channel the powers, right?
Yeah.
Does she have the green powers? But by giving the coin to Jason, does Tommy make the power coin a secondary red power coin, therefore being unable for Rita to channel the green powers? But that then doesn't work because later on, Tommy gets his green powers back for a little while. How does he do that if Jason's got the power coin? And if Jason gives the power coin back to, hang on,
we're jumping ahead.
Hang on. And if Jason gives the power coin back to Tommy, does Tommy then not have the power coin for the green candle to finish its spell?
So, okay. One, you jumped like 15 episodes on that one.
No, I didn't, because it's relevant now.
Yeah, but the way I've always understood it, or the way at least I look at it, is that the moment that Tommy gives Jason the coin right. fuses with the red ranger, thus breaking the spell from Rita, because it's then been fused with Jason, and that's how I've always looked at it, because. And then, when you get like 15 episodes later, when the coin comes back, that's something that Zordon does.
But it's established that the candle drains the person's power, right? So the moment that Zordon gives Tommy his jump start a couple of episodes down the line, however many it is, 15 or whatever, the moment that he gets the jump start after Doomsday, surely it should just get siphoned away again.
Yeah. Well, that's a recurring thing, though. That would be a recurring thing. You have limited power, and Zordon has to continually recharge. So it's a continual thing where it's like every time he goes in the battle.
But
goes
what I'm saying is, like, imagine you've got a USB power block, right?
Yep.
And the power block is plugged into your phone. And the phone is Tommy. And the USB is the...
No.
The power block is Tommy. And the phone is the green candle. Now, the phone and the power block are always linked. Right? If the power block runs out of power, you plug it in to put more power into it. But the power just goes into the phone.
Yeah. Well, I still believe that what it is that when Jason got the coin,
It broke the connection
okay. completely. And whatever spell that was on it because of that fusion. So when you saw that red flare up, that was essentially the breaking of the spell. That's how I've always interpreted it.
That's a fair way of looking at it.
Yeah.
It just could have used a little bit of exposition.
Yeah.
So then we cut to the park. Kim finds Tommy. We are assuming maybe a day or two later. Acting like nothing smegging happened. He's not depressed in any way. He's not sad. He's not, I don't know.
He's conflicted.
No, he's not. No, he's not. Even in his dialogue, she's like, how you doing? He's like, I'm all right. It's not shown in his acting. It's not shown in his dialogue. It's not shown in his body language. It's not shown in his character. He should be like, dude, I'm sad.
Give me a fuck.
He should be like, yo, dude, what do you mean, how am I? I just got superpowers taken away. But she's like, how you doing? He's like, nah, I'm all right. I'm just out here being the Karate Kid, practicing karate by the pool and looking all buff and stuff. Grr. At which point, we get the first kiss in Power Rangers history. The only couple that is allowed to, in fact. Even though, dare I say it, other couples deserved it more. Why? Why are Kim and Tommy the only couple allowed to kiss?
I don't know, because I never really paid attention to that portion. I mean, I've seen stuff for like... I remember at the end of Super Mega Force, at the end of the Legendary Battle, you had Gia kiss whoever the Green Ranger was. I can't remember his character name. Like, I remember she did like the kiss on the cheek.
No, that doesn't count.
Yeah, I know. And I know what you're saying. That doesn't count. But like, I've noticed that stuff. But as far as like actual full blown like kiss, I can't. I don't know.
Like, why are Kim and Tommy the only ones allowed to do it? Because they do it again later in an episode. I can't remember off the top of my head. One of the White Ranger episodes. I don't know.
One of those episodes.
Yeah. But there are so many more Ranger couples that have deserved it. Like... Ashley and Andros, right? When Andros is going off at the end of in space to confront Astronomer on the ship, right? And they just hug? Like, you've been building that relationship up for a season. Shove your tongue down her throat. Show you care. Right?
Yeah.
Show that woman... That incredibly beautiful, far too hot for her own good woman. Anyway. I've never understood the fact that they established that two Rangers could make out in this season or in, with this couple, and it never happens again. In fact, the only two Power Rangers ever to make out on screen have the least satisfying resolution because it comes in the form of a Dear John letter. Right? I'm still annoyed about that. They couldn't even do it over the phone. Get her to call in and do a cameo. It would have been like 3 minutes of voice recording for her. But yeah, we have the first and most unearned kiss in the history of Power Rangers. Then Tommy asks her out after kissing her. Dude, you got it in the wrong order. Just saying. And that's the end of Green Candle.
Yeah.
That is the end of the Green Ranger. Good riddance.
So with that,
and now I get to do 3 episodes without him.
So Green Candle Part 2 clocked in at 19 minutes and 19 seconds and had an IMDb score of an 8.5 out of 10.
Yep.
And it's these Green Ranger arcs that are the only true episodes to get over an 8 for ratings. Everything else.
I don't see how.
Everything else.
Green with Evil, I can see how. This, I don't see how.
But like most other episodes teeter between like a 6.6 and a 7.7.
Yeah, but IMDb ratings are not worth it anyway.
I know. It's just something we added just to have little context, I guess. So with that, Ben, where can the people find you on the social medias?
Hold on.
Oh.
I'm not done yet. I want to do a bit of a summary, really, because this was the first era of Power Rangers, really, wasn't it? It's just kind of, it had it done as other TV shows, this would have been your mid-season break, right? This would have been your mid-season sort of, oh no, everything's going wrong for the team kind of thing. And it's worth noting that this was supposed to be Tommy's last episode. This is supposed to be the last time we see the Green Ranger, even though Zoo 2 footage fixes that, right?
Yep.
I think it's worth noting how incredible of a phenomenon Power Rangers become already by this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's something we've not really seen in children's TV since, I don't think. Not to this extreme.
I would say maybe you could go with SpongeBob, but not to the same level.
Yeah, maybe.
Because, like, SpongeBob is another show that's still going very strong.
Yeah, but SpongeBob didn't cause riots in toy stores.
This is also true. Yeah, because I remember my mom when we were... Because a lot of people don't know this, but we've been going up into the attic finding old stuff. And, you know, before we started recording this, I was showing Ben an old TV guide from 1995. With yeah, 95 for the Power Rangers movie. But like we would find stuff, and one of the bins I actually brought down actually had the old Power Ranger stickers from the first season. So it was like the Dinozords and stuff like that. And my mom was like, man, and she saw the stickers. She's like, man, I remember having to buy this stuff, and you know, you don't have the internet like that, you know, you did now.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, like it was crazy.
Yeah, I just thought it was worth summing that up, really.
And so, Ben, We just had everyone listen to Green Candle 1 and 2.
Yep.
Lots of differing opinions between the two of us.
Eh, you could say that.
Yep. So with that, real quick, where can the people find you on the social medias?
You can find me at Twitter on...
at Bob T. Goldfish.
You can find me every 2 weeks over at...
TXHTHockey.com/AwesomeMania.
Which is the sister show to Voices from the Grid, where Mike and I discuss the goings-on in the world of wrestling. You can also find me over at...
TXHTHockey.com/VFTG for your every bi-weekly journey from Power Rangers.
Yeah, for my bi-weekly Power Rangers columns. I'm not going to lie to you. We're recording these ahead of time, so I'm not sure which one's going to come out anytime soon, or even if I'm not finished by now. Who knows?
Check them out anyways.
I'll find something to do once I'm finished writing about 25 seasons of Power Rangers. Though I've been assured once I get to Super Mega Force, I'm not going to want to watch anymore. So, whatever. And then you can find me on Twitch at...
twitch.tv/321_TV.
With my good friend Jordan Johnson and whoever else wants to stop by and play some video games as we do all kinds of things, from WoW to Diablo to 40K to all kinds of things. Tune us up on the Twitter to find out when we're going live.
And then, of course, you can find me on the Twitters at TheLindenbaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/X75Productions, and, of course, everything on TXHTHockey.com and for the show /VFTG Voices for the Grid. From the grid. Yep. So that, Ben, you got rid of Tommy Oliver. Take it away.
Oh, that felt good. So I will say... guys, gals, and online pals. In the words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, be excellent to each other. And party on, non-gender-specific honorific.
And until next time, grab your morphers, and may the power protect you.